I'd like to share just a few quick passages of scripture from the New Testament, three different books, Acts, Romans, and Galatians. Acts 1:8. This is all part of the very last sermon that Jesus gave before he ascended into heaven. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And from Romans 8, verses 6 and 7, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And from Galatians 5:17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit that is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not want to do what you want. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to start by giving you some definitions. Power and value. I just shared from Acts 1:8 about power. What is the definition of power? It's the ability to act. It's also potential capacity or strength or force that is actually put forth. It's a telling force. It's an effect that comes from power. You know, in the Pittsburgh area, we hear a lot about power in the sports teams. A home run hitter can hit a ball over the fence, over the stadium, and into the river. That's pretty powerful. In football, with the Steelers, we've always had power running backs. Franco Harris, Jerome Bettis. Those guys had power. And when they got that ball, if you couldn't tackle them, you better get out of the way, because that power is going to run right through you. Now, hockey is a little bit different. Hockey has what they call a power play. One team has a player that commits a violation. He goes to the penalty box, and the other team now has an extra player for a certain amount of time as they go on the power play. One of the greatest golfers came out of Western Pennsylvania, a man by the name of Arnold Palmer. Now, when he was on that tee box, he had so much power, he could hit the ball straight and 300 yards. Oh, I wish sometimes I could have just a teeny tiny bit of that power. I can't even hit a drive 150 yards, and most times it goes into the woods over here or into the high grass over here. But the consistency of all that examples that I just gave you, all that power is temporary. Sometimes you're just lucky if you're a star athlete. You get that power from luck. Most times also, it can be unfortunate. None of those examples hold a candle to the power we get given to us by God through His Spirit. A lot of us, myself included, had what we call getting the power from 17 inches from your head to your heart. From your head
to your heart.
September the 7th, 1971. That's when it dropped. And I can tell you, it's still there. That kind of power is like the kite. How many of you have flown a kite? Kite goes up, the wind comes along, you unravel the strings. Next thing you know, you feel that tug. You feel the tug of the kite. That's like the witness and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We may not see the evidence, but we can feel the tug on our hearts. We can constantly be in touch through God with that tug. That tug allows us to exhibit our power going up and receive God's power coming down. Now let's go to value. Value can be defined as desirability. Desirability. Most times, as we live our lives, the word value is also attached to two other words, price and or cost. Whether we go out and buy a car, buy shoes, buy clothes, buy a house, whatever you're buying, we have a tendency to look at it, like, oh my, did you see the price tag on that? I can't afford that. I'm not paying that. We miss the value part. We're too concerned about the cost or the price. Unfortunately, when God made me, He didn't do much when it came to feet. I have a very small foot. I had difficulty buying shoes because most times what I think I wanted, if it met my wants, needs, dreams, and desires, it was going to cost too much. Finally, a number of decades ago, because of my lovely wife, she said, Ed, if you find a pair of shoes, you like the color, you like the way they feel when you put them on and you walk around. Are they comfortable? Ed, look at the value of those shoes. Don't worry about what they cost. I took my wife's advice, which I normally do. Now, I have more shoes in the closet than she does. It's value. Value. Well, she's not at this service, or I tell some more stories about me and my shoes. When it comes to our Christian faith, we don't have to worry about the cost. We don't have to worry about the price. My Savior paid it all when He hung on that cross and He shed His blood for you and me. Jesus paid it all. All He left us with is value. John 3:16, one of the most popular verses in the Bible. I love that verse because it covers all the value. It covers the value in the past. It covers the value in the present. And it covers the value in the future. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these things that have value will be given to you. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is in me. Psalm 69:33, the Lord hears the needy and does not despise the captive people. Martin Luther was once asked, "What's the greatest thing you ever thought about? What's the greatest thing you ever thought about?" Without hesitation, he said, "My accountability to Almighty God." My accountability to Almighty God. You know, folks, we can sometimes fool the pastor, we can fool the assistant pastor, we can fool the principal, we can fool the policeman, the parents, the grandparents, our teachers. You can't fool God. You just can't. Some of us sometimes maybe try to hide from God, but you're never going to fool him. Your accountability to Almighty God. Now, let me tell you about four things about the value of being a Christian. Number one, it's simple. Number one, it's simple. Acts 16 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." For a long time in this church, we look at the front of our bulletin. It has the three B's on there. That's pretty simple. Believe, become, believe, belong, believe, and become. But you know, sometimes people get hung up on little things. Heard an evangelist one time say, "Don't get hung up on the hang-ups." I remember years ago, back on the farm in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, my dad had taken down a huge big tree out in the middle of this hay field. Didn't take out the stump. My job was to plow that field. He said, "Eddie, got a stump out there. Don't get hung up on it." Guess what? I got closer to that stump. I thought, "Boy, this is a piece of cake. I'll get real close to it and make that furrow look really nice." Well, that didn't happen, folks. I got the plow hung up on that stump. Broke that plow blade all to bits and pieces. My dad said, "What'd you do that for?" I said, "I just got hung up on the hang-up." And that stump was the hang-up. But sometimes the people in the church, they get hung up on the silly things or the simple things. And it's not that difficult. People get hung up sometimes on communion, on baptism. Should we wear makeup, not wear makeup? The length of our hair, long hair, short hair, no hair. Music, the clothes we wear. Down in West Virginia, they get hung up on sometimes as to whether or not they should handle the rattlesnakes. Some churches do and some churches don't. I love the story of the evangelist who was in town, big city, one day or one week. And one evening, he's walking down the street. At this corner, he sees an older, disheveled man. So he stops and starts to talk to him. Sooner or later, he asks him, he said, "Where do you go to church? Have you been saved? Are you born again? Are you a Christian?" The old man said, "Ha, I don't really believe in that stuff. One of these days, I'll do that. But right now, it's the wrong time and the wrong place. You surely don't expect me to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior here in this street corner, do you?" The evangelist said, "Let me ask you a question. Are you going to go to the funeral home to die?" Also love the story of the young man, 9-10 years old. He was hearing from teachers and Sunday school teachers and pastors and so on and so forth about this place called heaven and about this place called hell. So he went to another pastor in another church, and he told him the story about being confused. He said to the pastor, "Pastor, you got to help me. Tell me, how far away is heaven? And how far away is hell?" Pastor smiled and said, "Young man, put your hand on your chest. Tell me what you feel." The young man thought for a couple of seconds and finally said to the pastor, "My preacher, I feel a heartbeat. I feel a heartbeat." Preacher said, "That's it, son. That is it. How far away is heaven? How far away is hell? Just one heartbeat. Just one heartbeat." I try to keep it simple sometimes when I get into discussions with other people. I finally get to the point where I try to keep it as simple as I can. And I say to them, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, period. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." And then secondly, the value of being a Christian, it's sweet. I didn't realize when I was getting this sermon together how many songs are in the Methodist hymn book or how many other songs I could find that use the word sweet or sweetness. One of the songs that we sing here sometimes is, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know this says the Lord.'" We have to trust him and have faith in him. I just found this not too long ago that said, faith is a key theological term in the Gospels and can be understood as having four elements. Number one, you have to be aware of the facts. Number two, you have to understand the facts. Number three, you have to accept the facts. And number two, you have to be committed to know about the facts and which ones are reliable and dependable. Use those four things. See this pencil, this pen? I understand, and I have trust and faith that those four things work. If I drop this pen 100 times, I know where it's going. Straight down. Straight down. I have enough faith that when I drop that pen, it's going to drop straight down. There's another popular song that I like. It's entitled "Sweet, Sweet Spirit." There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know, and you know, and we all know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen very carefully, because this is a test. The next line says, "There are sweet expressions on each face." All right. I can't really tell if those wearing masks, I can't see your sweet expression. But how about the rest of you? Oh, Mark, That's a sweet expression. Oh, yes, Skip. Shirley. All of you. Sweet expressions on your face. Because I know that you all feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for those blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. The other one that I sing a lot when I'm out driving by myself so nobody else can hear how badly I sing, but I love it as I'm driving along. It's called I Keep Falling in Love with Him. And the chorus goes something like this. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. The last verse of that little jingle. There's a hand that I hold on to through each valley and each trial. There's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another mile. There's a love that I can depend on. It's fresh and new each day, and it makes me know I love him so much more than I did then. And then we go back to sing the chorus. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Then number three, it's satisfying. Doctor was in his office one day and he had a middle-aged man come in for the checkup. And the doctor says to the man, he said, "Sir, you're in good shape. I know you don't drink, chew, smoke, cuss, run around with other women, stay out after midnight. Don't you have any fun? Don't you have anything that is really satisfying?" Man just smiled and looked at the doctor and said, "Doc, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I'm just passing through on my way home. And I'm having so much fun, and I'm so satisfied with what I'm doing. I sometimes wish there were more hours in a day so I could have more fun being a Christian and be more satisfied being a Christian." One of my favorite stories in the Bible, Paul and Silas, at midnight, we're in the Philippian jail. Jail door broke open. The Philippian jailer thought, "Oh my goodness, they're going to escape." And Paul said, "We're still here. We're still here." At that moment, that Philippian jailer knew that Paul and Silas were having fun being Christians, and they were very satisfied. They had a revival right there in that Philippian jail at midnight. Not only did the Philippian jail receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, his whole family did. His whole family did. That's the power in the Holy Spirit. It'll make it fun. And it'll be very, very satisfying. And then number four, it's successful. You know, success is not a destination, it's a process. It's a process. It's a process of preparing us for our heavenly home. I love the story of the grandmother sitting out in the porch on a cool summer evening, sitting there in the breeze and rocking on her rocking chair, and she's reading the Bible. And her little granddaughter came up, said, "Grandma, what are you doing sitting here rocking and reading your Bible?" The grandmother just smiled and looked down at the little granddaughter and said, "Honey, I'm preparing for my final exam before I die." I've always said, if the Lord is good enough for you when you're dying, you ought to try him while you're living. Man, he won't hurt you. He will not hurt you. I've heard pastors say, and I've said it, I've never met a person sorry they were a Christian. Oh, I've met some sorry Christians, but I have never met a person sorry they were a Christian. I'm going to be successful. Trust you are too. When you reach that mansion that's been prepared for you, and when you walk through those gates, you're going to hear him say, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." Ira Stanfield wrote a song in 1949. Very popular. I love it. Many of you have probably sung it. It's called "Mansion Over the Hilltop." I'm satisfied with a cottage below, little silver, a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed shall shine, I want a gold one that's silver-lined. Though often tempted, tormented, and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone, and though I find no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion of my own. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp, and a crown. And the chorus says this: I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander but walk the streets that are purest gold. And that, my friends, is the value of being a Christian. Let us pray. Lord, we've talked about power and value. And Lord, we're thankful for power from the Holy Spirit, making us valuable in your sight. It's simple, it's sweet, it's satisfying, and it's successful. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Somebody asked me not too long ago, when I get to the end of sermons that I preach, why I always tell the congregation and the organ player, let's sing it loud and fast. I have no idea why I say fast. But if you'll remember, in the book of Luke, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, "Go and tell the priests. Go and tell the priests." Away they went. One stopped, turned around, and went back. to thank Jesus for what he had done. And in his praise and his thanksgiving, the Bible says he spoke in a loud, loud voice. And that's why I love to do it that way. Would you stand as we sing Victory in Jesus? This altar is open. If you have a want, need, dream, or desire, want a hand on your shoulder, you want to have prayer, please feel free as we sing Victory in Jesus.